You're listening to sermon audio from Christchurch Hawthorne in Melbourne. We hope and pray this helps you grow in your knowledge and love of God and enables you to see how great God is.
Proverbs 3, 1 to 10, page 528. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine.
The next reading is from Proverbs 6 to 11, and it's on page 531 of our Bibles. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, ruler, or officer, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armoured man.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for your invitation, and it's great to be with you again on this very happy winter day. I hope you've been pinched and punched for the first of the month, have you? A sort of pinching and punching in a spiritual way should go around the room. Well, two great proverbs. I love the first one because when I was converted, when I was in my last year in school, the man who converted me gave me this verse on a card, and I kept it in my Bible for years. I've still got it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then I remember the first time I read the proverb, go to the ant, thou sluggard, it was in the old version. Consider her ways and be wise. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. The two proverbs point us in contrary directions, don't they? One says, trust in God. The other says, work hard. The one which says, trust in God, puts it very strongly, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that is, with all your energy. A person who's trusting the Lord with all their heart never stops trusting in the Lord. Not even when they go to bed and the rest of us lie awake worrying about things. They're fast asleep because they're trusting in the Lord. When they wake up in the morning, they're not fearing the day because they're trusting in the Lord. When they think about the future, they're not worried about it because they are trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And to do that, do not lean on your own understanding. Our natural inclination, I think, is to bend or to lean on our own understanding. But that's not the same as trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. That is, in every part of your life, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. It's a beautiful picture of a person, a man or a woman or a child, who is not only trusting God for everything, but entrusting themselves to God in everything. Do you see the difference? We can choose to trust God for this or that or the other, but what we need to do is entrust ourselves to God. I love saying to people, whatever happens, you're in the best place in the universe because you're in the hands of God. And to know you're in the hand of God, under the care of God, the protection of God, means you can trust God absolutely. The one thing you can do, whatever happens, whatever disasters come, is trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I think that's the kind of lesson that we take years to learn, and I'm still working on it myself. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. But the other proverb from Proverbs chapter 6, go to the ant, O sluggard or lazy bones, is exactly the opposite, isn't it? It says, look at an ant, because her ways are wise ways. Consider her ways and be wise. That's a great theme in the book of Proverbs, wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. And the implication actually is that the ant has learnt her wisdom from God. That is, God made ants with a certain kind of wisdom about cooperation and building ant hills and preparing for the future. I don't know if you had this when you were young, but I was given a kind of ant farm when I was young. It was a very narrow thing, rectangular, and it had plastic on either side, and you put soil in it. It was a kind of box. You put soil, then you put an ant in it, and then you could watch the ants, busy building their nest and worrying, doing whatever ants do, sorting things out, clearing up the nest, getting their food, bringing it down. They were always at work, always busy. Consider her ways and be wise. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Now, the ant reminds me of so many people today, because if I ask people how they are, they always say busy. And this is not busy bees, but busy ants, you see. I've told you the little boy, 5 years old, asked how he was. He said, I'm very busy. And busy people are responsible people, and looking around the room, I can see that there are lots of very responsible people here. We're using our gifts, we're preparing for the future, we're looking for opportunities, busy like an ant. But of course, both these instructions are in the scriptures. Trust in the Lord and go to the ant. Is there a contradiction between them? For goodness sake, God, make up your mind, tell us which you want us to do. Do you want us to trust in you, or do you want us to be busy? Well, actually, God wants us to do both. And I think it's more difficult to do both than to do one or the other. Easy to trust, you just give up, stay in bed all day, imagine God will provide your lunch, so on. Don't bother with the cleaning, just enjoy yourself. Or being busy, well, I can imagine a busy day, you get up, you've got a list of things to do, you race around all day, at the end of the day, had a good day, all very busy. And that's it. But actually what God wants us to do is not a compromise between the two, not half trust and half busy, but full trust and full responsibility. Full trust and full responsibility. Let me ask you, do you tend to trust in the Lord, or do you tend to be busy like an ant? Whichever you do, you need to try a bit of the other one, you see. If you're a great truster but you don't take responsibility for your life, then from this sermon I want you to get a bit of responsibility taking. But if you're a very responsible person or always busy, I want you to get from this sermon the need for you to trust in the Lord. Or perhaps you lead a divided life. In practical things, you work very hard. In spiritual things, you just trust God. No, what we have to do is trust and take responsibility. We have to work, but not worry. Let me say that again. We have to trust God and take responsibility. We have to work hard, but not without trusting God. Work, but not worry. I've asked you what you're like, I might also ask the question, what's this church like? Is this church's strength trusting in God, or is this church's strength in being busy? And how do you need to change the shape of your church life? Now, I know it's true that whenever I preach, some people hear the wrong message. So, if you're a great truster and you're not taking responsibility for your life, please don't go away thinking, well, I have to trust God even more. And if you're a busy ant, don't go away thinking, well, the visiting preacher told me to be even more busy. No, make sure you hear the right message. Trust and take responsibility. Work and don't worry. And I think this dual responsibility, this dual duty of trusting and taking responsibility, perfectly expresses what it is to be men and women made in the image of God. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make humankind in our image. So you and I are representations of God, reminders of God. What does an image of God do? An image of God takes responsibility for the world, but not overall responsibility, do you see? So Adam and Eve are set to work in the garden, but they still trust God for everything. That's the clue, you see, to trust God for everything and yet do our daily work. You might think, but this is contradictory, but actually there are lots of contradictions in the Bible, aren't they? Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you. Or he says to Timothy, think about these things, and the Lord will give you understanding. So hard as it is to imagine, we have to do both the trusting and the responsibility taking. I was talking to somebody during the week, a friend of mine, who's one of those people who finds it very hard to say no when people ask him to do things. And he and his wife have been in a series of churches, as I understand it, and the trouble is they take up all the jobs. Someone says, we need someone to run the Sunday school, so they say yes. We need someone to do the coffee, I'll do that. To be treasurer, yes, I'll do that as well. So what they have to do, you see, is to go to a church trusting God, but have to learn to say no as well. They have to take responsibility for their lives. And lots of times when I talk to people, I think that the great challenge for people is to trust God and yet make sensible decisions. Trust God making sensible decisions. Trusting God even as you do it, as you do the work. There's a saying attributed to Oliver Cromwell, I think, put your trust in God and keep your powder dry. That is, trust God, but take responsibility. We'll think what correction you need to make today. Which proverb do you need? Do you need? Do you need to hear God saying to you, trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your paths. Is that the proverb for you today? Is that the lesson you need to learn? A deep lesson you need to learn and apply to every part of your life? Or do you need to hear this word from God? Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. I think what we sometimes do is divide our life into the things we can manage, in which we become ant-like, and the things we can't manage, in which we trust God. Take breakfast, for example. I'm quite good at getting breakfast. I'm usually half asleep, but I can get it. I know what to do. Open the fridge, get out the milk, go to the cupboard, bring out the cereal, get some dog food. That's for the dogs, not for me. Put the kettle on, get a cup of tea and so on, eat an apple. And the thing is that I do that kind of automatically, and I don't think at the time I'm depending on God. But as a matter of fact, of course, the fact that I woke up today is a gift of God, isn't it? And the fact that food still works in my body to strengthen me is a gift of God. And the food itself is a gift of God, isn't it? The water is a gift of God. So although I think I can manage breakfast by myself, in fact, at the moment of me thinking I can manage everything by myself, I'm deeply dependent on God, aren't I? So what I try to do each day, whenever I think, well, I can do that, I say to God, I can only do that by your wisdom and by your strength. And whenever I think to myself, well, this is too difficult, I can't manage this, a friend of mine gave me great advice. He said, think of one good step you can take forward, one good thing you can do. Rather than thinking, oh, it's too difficult, I'll leave that to God, I try and think of one thing I can do to make a difference to this particular area. So where I'm naturally ant-like and busy, I try to trust God through that. And where I naturally give up and say, well, God, I can't do this, you'll have to deal with it, I try and think of one act of responsibility I can take for this situation. That's how I try to trust in the Lord with all my heart and go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. Trust and take responsibility. Work, don't worry. Or we might say, don't work without trusting, and don't trust without working. Say it again. Don't work without trusting, saying to God, you trust God for this, and don't trust without working. Now, I think we have a few moments for questions. If you'd like to ask a question about how to put this into practice in your life, I'd be happy to have a go at answering it. You can make up a question if you like. You can say, I've got a friend who, and somebody asked me the other day, and I'm happy to look at those ones as well. A lot of people find it very hard. Yes.
Do you have any practical ways for them to just apply it?
Well, I'm 67 years old, and I think it wasn't until I got to 65 that I learned to say no without feeling guilty. So you've asked the right person. I've had years of saying yes when I should have said no. Because the trouble in my business is Christian ministry, and if somebody says, you know, can you do this, it's very hard to say, no, I can't. But the trouble is, if we don't learn to say no, the society we're in just puts more and more pressure on us, doesn't it? Yeah. But we can only say no if we trust God. That is, when I say no, I can't do that, what I think to myself is, well, ultimately providing a person to do that is God's job, not mine. And I trust that if I don't do it, somebody else will do it. And miracle of miracles, it does happen, as a matter of fact. Whereas if I say yes to everything, then other people don't get a chance to do things. So I think this is the point of the sermon in a way, isn't it? We need to learn to trust God enough to say no. Yeah. And if I were me, I'd pray at the beginning of each day, dear Heavenly Father, help me to say no today without feeling guilty. And because then when the thing comes, you can do it. Yeah. But that's a way of trusting God, that he'll give you the ability to say no. You might practice in front of a mirror. That's a good thing to do. Saying politely, no, I'm sorry, I can't take that on. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Try that. It's fun. Great question, thank you. Somebody else got a question? Oh, sorry.
I was chatting to a friend here. Should we?
Yes, yes. No doubt you'll pass it on.
Yeah,
sure. Yes, I think I get the question. I find it so important to express my trust in God. So even though I'm busy, I can say to God, I'm trusting you for the situation. I'm not trying to do this without you. I know I depend on you for everything. So as I work hard, I need to be saying to myself, you are trusting God, aren't you? And I need to be saying to God, I do trust you. So if your friend's natural inclination is to forget that, the way to do it is to pepper your day with, God, I'm trusting you. It's a stressful day, but I'm trusting you anyway. It's a great discipline. See, what we learn to do is to pray, ask for God's help. I think we probably need to learn to say, not help, but I trust you. And then we can say, please help me. Otherwise, when you just say help, it's a bit like, you know, I'm frantic and I'm so busy, but please help me do everything because I've got to do all this. But trusting is saying, I am busy, but this is your day, this is your world, I'm your person. Yeah. That's who I am, I'm your person. Loved child, yeah.
How do I know if I need to be more ant-like or more trusting?
You got a wife?
No.
Got any friends? Got any friends? Ask your friends. They'll tell you. They'll see you much more clearly than you see yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a somewhat extreme remedy, but yes. And of course, you don't want a church, do you, in which some people do the trusting and others do all the work? You want a church where everyone's taking responsibility appropriate for their time and energy and age and things like that. And everyone's trusting God. Otherwise, if you have a church where everyone's working and not trusting, you have that kind of panic sets in, doesn't it? Are we working hard enough? Are we getting everything done? And anti-like people are always thinking of more things to do, you know, that you're maybe that kind of person. And there are so many things to do in our world that it's just hard to keep up, isn't it? So a culture of ultra-busyness is not helpful for a church because it says, we're not trusting you, God. Yes, that's right. You do. You do, yes. The people who are busy resent those who aren't working, and the people who are trusting in God can be slightly cynical about those who are working hard because all you have to do is trust the Lord, you see. Let go and let God. So that's a point at which we all need to learn that we all have to trust and we all have to take responsibility. That's the message, I think. Got that? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures and we thank you that you give us your wisdom in the scriptures and particularly in the book of Proverbs, wisdom about daily life. So we pray that you would help us to turn to you all the time and tell you that we trust you, that we would indeed trust you with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways we'd acknowledge you and you trust that you will direct our paths and protect our lives. And we also pray that when you give us opportunities to work for you, to take responsibility, you'd help us to do that and work well and effectively, but not without trusting. So, dear gracious God, please help us not to work without trusting and not to trust without working, that we might live wisely in your world for your sake. Amen.